Let us open our Bibles this afternoon to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, several chapters and passages out of that special book of instruction, maybe especially for the youth. Beginning with Proverbs 6, at verse 20 to 29. We'll start there. We hope to deal this afternoon with the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. And so with that in the background and in our minds, let us read these verses from Proverbs 6. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart. And tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. And we turn also a few chapters further to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, beginning at verse 12, where the father has instructed his son not to remove the old landmarks. Verse 10, but we will begin at verse 12. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Thus far, we'll take that together with what our Heidelberg Catechism teaches us in Lord's Day 39 concerning the fifth commandment. That's page 75 in the back of your Psalter, page 75, Lord's Day 39. We're covering the Ten Commandments in these Lord's Days also by way of the Heidelberg Catechism. There are a number of excellent sources on the Ten Commandments. I've mentioned Professor Donnelly before, whose study I've profited from greatly, also on this Fifth Commandment. Of course, Thomas Watson on the Ten Commandments is a good and profitable read, and has practical helps. If you have that, it will not hurt to take it up and read it for your profit, instruction, correction. What does God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Thus far. Young people, what is the way through this life? How do you know as a young person which way you should go? Well, that's the question that Psalm 119 asks, especially for young people. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? Thy word, O Lord, will safely lead if in its wisdom they confide. That's what Psalm 119 says already early on in the psalm, and we can sing it together this afternoon, and the boys and girls can sing it regularly at school. God's word must be a lamp unto our feet. That's what Proverbs 6 says too, also about the commandments of a God-fearing father and mother. Those commandments are a lamp and a light. And this fifth commandment no less, honor thy father and thy mother. That's what you can write over this sermon. Honor thy father and thy mother. We'll see, first of all, the importance of this fifth commandment. Secondly, the practice of this fifth commandment. And thirdly, the God of the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and mother. First of all, the importance. Secondly, the practice. And thirdly, the God of the fifth commandment. Well, first of all, then, the importance of the fifth commandment. That's where we want to start this afternoon. Of course, someone listening already at the outset of this sermon may say, but Pastor, are not all of the Ten Commandments important? Indeed. After all, they've all been written down by the finger of God on two tables of stone. And that means that the first commandment is important. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's important that we not worship false gods, but the one true God. I think we realize that. And we realize the importance of the sixth commandment, that murder is an evil and a wicked thing. And people will agree that honesty matters, and therefore lying is a great evil too, but that we must honor our father and our mother. Is that really that important? You see, it's one of those commandments that we could easily pass over and forget about. But we need to take it as seriously as the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. But now let me give several reasons why the fifth commandment is so important. First of all, it's important because of its prominence in the Bible, because of its prominence in the Bible. Now, if something is mentioned only once in the Bible, that should be enough for us. One pastor put it this way, God should have only to say something once to us. And it isn't good when parents have to say something four or five times before a child starts paying attention and before the child starts listening. The parent usually getting angrier and louder. But finally the teenager listens. That's not good. That's not how we should be towards God. If God says something once, we should listen. But if he says something time and again, if he stresses something repeatedly, then we should take it very seriously and not dare to disregard it. Now, that's how it is with this fifth commandment. And let me give you a few texts from Scripture to show its importance, the prominence that this fifth commandment has in Scripture. That the Scripture plainly says that disobedience, God takes the disobedience of children, younger children or older children, it doesn't matter. God takes the disobedience of a little child as well as an older child like Hophni and Phinehas. God takes it very seriously and regards it as a serious sin. Exodus 21 verse 15 and 17. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Rebellious children are addressed. Those who either dare to smite, attack, or curse them. Matthew Henry says that children rebelling against their parents is a very great provocation to God and the Father. And if men do not punish it, He will. Hophni and Phinehas were punished by God. And anyone who cursed his father or mother deserved capital punishment in Israel. In Deuteronomy 21, verse 18 to 21, we are told that if parents had a rebellious son who did not obey his father and mother and would not listen to them, then they had to take him to the elders of the city, and the rebellious son would be stoned to death. For such an evil must be put away from among you, the Lord said. Yes, God counts disobedience to parents as a great evil. In Proverbs 30 verse 17 we're told, the eye that mocketh his father and despiseth his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and eat it. Disobedience, even a scornful look on your face, boys and girls, young people, even a disrespectful attitude towards your father will meet with judgment from God. Now it's true in the New Testament the penalties are different than in the Old Testament, but the sin remains serious, and the penalty of disobeying and dishonoring father and mother, the penalty will come if there is no repentance. The penalty is still coming. It will come on the day of judgment then. God takes this sin very seriously. And when we come to the New Testament, this duty is repeated and it's reiterated. For instance, in Ephesians 6 verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3 verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. The Apostle Paul, he's writing letters to the churches in the New Testament, and he takes up many grand doctrines in his letters and many great duties in his letters, but he takes time to address the children and to urge them to obey their father and their mother. And we're told in several places in the New Testament that one of the signs of the last days is disobedience to parents. Jesus mentions it in Matthew 10 verse 21, and of a sign of the last days, of children rising up against their parents. Or 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 and 2, where Paul, writing to Timothy, says that perilous times will come, and then he gives some marks of what will those last days be like. And he lists quite a number of them. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. In other words, one of the marks of the last days is not only that people are seeking pleasure and are filled with pride, but that they disobey father and mother. Their rebellion against parents that they're ready to argue, ready to talk back. That will be the outworking of the last days. And when we hear about the life of the Lord Jesus began before He began His public ministry, then we might be curious, well, what did the Lord Jesus do in His early years, in His early life? Well, we're not told that much, but perhaps it's best summed up with those words in Luke 2, verse 51. And He went down with them and was subject unto them. That's what God has told us specifically. This is what stands out of the life of the Lord Jesus. All the way up to 30 years old, He was obedient to His parents. It's important because of the prominence it has in the Scripture. Secondly, it's important because of its position. Because of its position in the Ten Commandments. Yes, we come hereby to the second table of the law. The first table of the law, those first four commandments, deal with our relationship with God. And the last six commandments deal with our relationship with one another. And this commandment, to honor our parents, is put first in the second table of the law. Would you have put it there? Would you have said that honoring father and mother is more important than not murdering, the sixth commandment? It's more important than the seventh commandment? God puts this commandment first in the second table of the law before He forbids murder and adultery and stealing and lying. First, honor thy father and thy mother. Why? Because what is at the heart of sin? It's rejection of authority. It's rejection of authority. That's where things went wrong in the beginning, in paradise, where God said, don't do this, and Adam and Eve said, but we're going to do it anyways, and they rebelled against this great God. This good and holy God, they rejected God's authority. That was their great sin. They wouldn't obey Him. They pushed aside His authority. And from that flows murder and adultery and stealing. Now where do human beings first come into contact with authority? Where do they experience authority? They don't meet with a police officer most often that early in their life. Where do children meet with someone who's bigger than them, stronger than them, wiser than them, and tells them what to do? In the family. That's where we need to learn to submit, in the home, from parents, where we have to learn to do as we are told. There in the home is someone bigger, someone stronger than me, who has a right to tell me what to do. My parents, who love me, who care for me, who are over me. You see, God has established the family so that children would grow up in a place where they have to learn to listen, where they have to learn to submit to someone who is wiser and stronger. And if a child rejects authority in the home, if parents do not see to it that the child learns to listen at home, it will be difficult for him to learn to listen anywhere else. That's why it's so important. And that's why it comes before stealing and coveting. Because God wants to teach children to live under authority, under His authority. Thirdly, it's important not only because of the prominence of this subject in the Bible and because of its position in the Ten Commandments, but thirdly, it's important because of the problem in society. the problem in society, the problem of disrespect. I realize that the sin of disrespect is not new, but there have been times and there have been generations when old people were honored and respected, and their counsel was sought and valued, their wisdom was honored, and children realized their place. But today we live in a world that's much different. People rebel against the authority of a teacher, against the authority of an employer, against police. People have adopted the principle that no one can tell me what I should do. And people believe that if you're young, you count, and old people don't. And they're mocked, and they're laughed at, and old people are viewed as being incompetent and not knowing anything, and old people are seen as a nuisance, and old people are seen as a burden, and it would be better if they took a pill and passed away. You see, the family is under attack in so many ways. And if any commandment is neglected and disregarded, it's the fifth commandment. And today, more than ever, we need to feel the importance of this commandment: honor thy father and thy mother. Fourthly, it's important not only because of the prominence of this commandment in Scripture, because of the position in the Ten Commandments, not only because of the problem in society, but because of the promise attached to it. Because of the promise attached to it. And that's what Paul specifies. Honor thy father and mother in Ephesians 6. He clarifies this, verses 2 and 3. He says, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. No, this does not mean that every child who honors and loves his parents will live to be 80 or 90 years old. But there is an element of truth in it, isn't it? That parents who care enough about their children to tell them not to go too close to the fire, and parents who warn their children not to run onto the street, and the child who obeys will live longer than a child who doesn't obey. And teenagers who listen to their parents and the parents warn them against the wrong things and against the wrong friends, how thankful such teenagers should be. There are thousands of teenagers who don't have any care like that and protection like that, and they put themselves in danger and they make all kinds of mistakes and they get involved in the wrong crowd and the wrong things, and they don't know love and they don't know protection and they don't know what it is to listen to the wisdom of wiser and older people, and they destroy themselves. But this promise, you understand, isn't just true in general, but especially points to living long in the promised land for the people of Israel. If the people of Israel wanted to live long in that land which the Lord was going to bring them to, and not go into exile, then let them listen to God-fearing parents and God-fearing leaders. But if they don't listen and if they don't follow in the faith of their fathers, they'll be put out of the land and they'll be banished and exiled. And you see, those who come to love their parents and listen to their God-fearing parents, it will be a blessing to them and they'll live long, especially, now let me say it in the New Testament language, they'll be especially able to live eternally in the heavenly promised land, that city that hath foundations, that land of promise to which the Old Testament saints looked. But you see, it's a promise attached to this commandment to show its importance. And I wonder, young people, you see its importance? Did you think about it? That's important. That when parents ask us to do something, do we just think about our own plans and what we wanted to do? Or do we ever think about what God wants us to do and what He requires of us? And do you see parents in our midst? Do you see what kind of families we should seek to develop under the blessing of God? And how, with those earliest challenges to your authority, fathers or mothers, and there's a battle of the wills between you and this little child, then there's no room to be a tyrant, parents. Not at all. But there is the need to show firmly and lovingly, God has put you in charge here. That's what the child, that little child that's going to grow, that's what the child needs. And that's what God seeks. Yes, the importance of the fifth commandment. And secondly, now the practice of the fifth commandment. How are we to put this commandment into practice? You know that it's not enough just to learn about the commandment and to learn about the importance of the commandment and to believe this commandment. We are to put it into practice. After all, James will tell us that faith without works is dead. It's not enough to be a hearer of the word. There must also be a doing of it. Now, what are the actions and attitudes that God requires of us to show that our faith is real? Let me mention several. For one thing, we are to honor our parents. We are to honor them. When we hear the word honor in the Bible, it's a word that speaks of weight. It's maybe not an idea that we are so familiar with, but if you meet an important person, maybe with an important office, then you feel something of the weight of this person's office, don't you? And it impresses you, and you feel something of the gravitas, as the Latin word that we sometimes use in English. That's something that the Lord wants us to feel, the weight of someone. Now, that is what we need towards our parents. To feel the weight that God has given to them means that we must respect them. Like Joseph in the Old Testament, remember, who goes to visit his aged father in Egypt. His aged father, Jacob, is coming near to the end of his earthly pilgrimage. And when Joseph goes to meet him, he bows down before him. Joseph is the second in command. He's the second most powerful man in Egypt. He's the prime minister. But he knows himself to be a son of his father, and he honors his father. It's fitting. When we're young, after all, our parents, boys and girls, our parents are bigger than we are and stronger than we are, and they're more knowledgeable than we are. But that's not why we must honor them, because the day will come that you, as children, will become bigger than your parents, and you may become more educated than your parents, and you may become stronger than your parents. But still we must honor them. Why? Not because of their strength, and not because of their wisdom. That's not why we are to honor political leaders or church leaders. We are to honor them, not because of their wisdom and power and influence. And they're not always right, but because God has been pleased to place them in authority over us. When Paul, writing his letters to the New Testament churches, urges some honoring of those in authority, in Romans 13, for instance, then he's writing in a time when the Roman Empire was ruled by Nero, this madman, this murderous madman. But Paul recognizes that God was pleased to make Nero emperor. And because God has pleased to put him in authority, that's why we must honor him, and that's why we must honor our parents and all in authority over us, because it has pleased God to set them over us. I know I said already, this attitude is so different from what many in our world think. I know that by and large older people are disrespected, older people are dismissed, and it's not cool to honor them, but friends, we must be different from the world. The Bible sets it forth clearly. Leviticus 19 verse 32 calls the people of Israel to rise, to stand up in the presence of the aged. I know we maybe don't practice that so much anymore. And we certainly don't, like Joseph, fall down before earthly fathers. But arising in their presence and worshiping, at least bowing down rather, is much different than just giving our parents a grunt. We must honor our parents. Secondly, we must obey them. That's what those two New Testament texts say, Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3. Ephesians 6 verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Colossians 3 verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things. And you know when that word obey is used, it's the same word that's used in Mark chapter 4 verse 41, where the disciples were in the storm at sea, on the Sea of Galilee, as we heard about last Lord's Day morning. And finally, in their distress, they take refuge to the Lord Jesus. And He calms the wind and the waves, and the disciples are amazed and say, what manner of man is this, that the wind and the sea obeys? Same word. That they obey Him. Boys and girls, when your mom and dad tell you to do something, you must do it. And not argue and complain, but obey them, because that's what God commands you to do. That counts not only for the young boys and girls, that counts for teenagers and young people too. When mother and father say something, then you need to obey them. That is well pleasing to the Lord, Colossians 3 verse 20 says. And you understand that obedience is different from doing what they tell you to do with a huff and a puff and to stomp your feet in protest. That's not obedience. Obedience must be done willingly, cheerfully. Now, when we become adults, we start our own families, we leave our parents' home in order to start our own. Then we are not under the thumb of our parents anymore, and it's not good if parents try to control their adult children. But as children, we should be considerate of their wishes still, and take them seriously, and consult them, and ask their advice, and seek their counsel. And if at times we have to disregard their counsel, we should do it with a great deal of thought and prayer. But maybe a teenager says, but what if my parents are, what if they're being unreasonable? What if they're being unfair? Peter writes to slaves in 1 Peter 2 verse 18 that we should submit not only to the kind and loving masters, but also to those who are difficult. Yes, we must submit even to those who are difficult. It's better than disobedience. Yes, parents are sinful. Just like you, teenagers. And you, boys and girls. And sometimes parents will be unwise. And sometimes parents will be unreasonable in what they ask of us. But if we want to do what's right and please the Lord, then we will do our best to obey them. But what if your parents are ungodly or wicked? Then we still have to honor and obey them. But what if they command us to sin? Then we must obey God rather than men. But be sure, if you are to disobey them because of one or other thing, be sure that your disobedience, young people, is limited to only that one or two things that arise because God forbids us to do it. And be sure that if, because God forbids you to obey your parents when they ask you to do something sinful, be sure that your relationship doesn't suffer, for they're still your parents. And if a believing wife must keep living with an unbelieving husband, if they're willing to have them stay, so too must a believing child seek to live in love and honor with an unbelieving parent or parents. I heard a story of a teenage girl attending a Bible study, but her unbelieving father was not so happy that she was attending this Bible study in the Reformed faith. And her father, with a number of other men, came to the Bible study bent on violence. And the minister was quickly brought into a place of safety, but the father caught this teenage daughter of his by the throat, and he choked her till she lost consciousness. He was so angry, but he changed his mind when his daughter, after she recovered consciousness, immediately she went to her father, threw her arms around him, and said, "I love you, Daddy, but I love Jesus too." We are to honor them. We are to obey them. Thirdly, we are to pray for them. Pray for them. Our parents need our prayers in many ways. They have many burdens to bear. They have many responsibilities. They need guidance. They need help and they need strength. They have faults to overcome. They need forgiveness just like we do, young people. And we should not forget to pray for our parents, if they're still alive, that is. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, "I exhort that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority." When Timothy read this, written by the hand of Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, did Timothy perhaps think of his God-fearing mother married to this unbelieving father? He was to pray for them. Teenagers, do you pray for your parents? And are we thankful for them to God, like those children in Proverbs 31 verse 28 who arise and call her blessed? These children thank God for the God-fearing mother the Lord had given them. Yes, we should pray for them. Fourthly, we should be forbearing and forgiving. Forbearing and forgiving. Young people, your parents are not perfect. They have faults and weaknesses, just like you do. And those faults and weaknesses come out sometimes most clearly in our home life, more than anywhere else. Parents are not perfect. And your parents will say and do foolish things. They will behave poorly at times. They may be unfair, they may be unreasonable, they may be impatient, they may say and do things that later, if it's right, they will confess they did wrong. even if they are true believers. But how will we respond to their shortcomings and sins? Will you criticize them, young people? Will you condemn them? Despise them? Make fun of them? We read of Noah in Genesis 9, who in one act of folly overindulged in wine, with the result that he lost all sense of decency and that he lay uncovered in his tent, and one of his sons, Ham by name, made fun of his father's weaknesses and sins. But the two other sons, Shem and Japheth, behaved with such kindness and wisdom. They knew they were no better than their father, and they walked backwards into the tent and covered their father's nakedness. They did not want to magnify their father's fault. They did not want to delight in something that was shameful. Those sons, Shem and Japheth, honored their father. And so should we, even with all the shortcomings and sins of our parents. That when you see their faults, young people, don't point them out, but cover them. As Matthew Henry says, with a cloak or mantle of love, and a robe of reverence to cover the faults of parents. I hope your children will do that for you too later on, young people. And you see, at that moment, Noah lying there in his tent was not worthy of honor. But these two sons honored him and loved him. And is that not what the Lord Jesus Christ did too? Those first 30 years of his life, being subject to his parents, Mary must have made plenty of mistakes, and Joseph too. But the Lord Jesus still honored them and forgave them. How many shortcomings and failures do we not have as parents? I remember this lesson the most from my father, that he would come to me and asked me to forgive him when he had not done something right. Fifthly, we are to care for them. We are to care for them. When we're young, they care for us. They feed us, they clothe us, they nurture us, they teach us. But the day may come when they won't be able to do it for us anymore, and we have to do it for them. And how sad it is when children neglect their own parents. I understand there's a Dutch saying that goes like this. It's easier for one poor father to bring up 10 children than for 10 rich children to provide for one poor father. That's sad. The children are to care for their parents when that care is needed. That's what Paul will say in 1 Timothy 5 verse 4. Parents, they are to be cared for, maybe especially having become widows or widowers. Then he says this, that children are to learn first to show piety at home. First to show piety at home. Like Joseph, who provided for his father in his old age and saw to it that he had a place to live there in Goshen. Joseph, who saw to it that Jacob's desire to be buried in the promised land would be carried out. We are to care for them. It's not easy to become old and frail. And you can't see so well as you used to. You start spilling food, and you stumble, and you fall. But remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that what you've done unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Honor thy father and thy mother. Young people, do you? Do you lovingly obey them? Do you pray for them? Do you forgive them? When was the last time you did that? You care for them. One of the greatest regrets we can have is that we've broken our parents' heart. that we've caused them grief and anguish. And maybe that our parents left this world sorrowing because of how we dishonored them and disobeyed them. No one has been sorry for honoring their parents, even in very difficult times. But plenty have been sorry to dishonor them. But you know, young people and children, older ones, what brings the Christian father and mother the greatest joy is that you come to know the God of the fifth commandment, our last point. The God of the fifth commandment. Children, young people, older ones, sometimes you're trying very hard to honor father and mother, but sometimes you find it hard, difficult. Teenagers, you may be saying, some of you may be saying, anyways, honor my father and mother. I will do it once they agree with me. That's to dishonor them. But you see, it's impossible to honor our parents from the heart until I know the Lord savingly and submit myself to Him. Have you never come to see that you are a rebel against God, first of all? As He says in Isaiah 1 verse 2, I have nourished and brought up children and they have rebelled against me. Is that not what characterizes our lives? That we in Adam have rebelled against Him, and in our daily lives we show that we are rebels of Him. And what a wonder in the words of Hosea 11 verse 8 that He hasn't given us up and abandoned us and left us to perish. Have you ever turned to Him? Young people, have you ever turned to Him with your sin and with your guilt? Having returned with the rebellious son, that prodigal son, saying, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before Thee, and am no more worthy to be called Thy son. Have you ever taken refuge with that confession upon your lips? And that you find the Father shows you the perfect son. No, not you, not me. Not the older brother who stayed home when the prodigal had left home. He wasn't the perfect son. But I mean the Father in heaven showing you the perfect son. The one who said at 12 years old, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And that Father's business included that He was subject to Joseph and Mary, who were imperfect parents. The Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Son who came in the fullness of time and who says in Psalm 40, I come Thy purpose to fulfill. And who learned obedience by the things that He suffered, Hebrews 5 verse 8 says. And remember Him in Gethsemane, wrestling in prayer before the Father, saying, not my will but Thine be done. And He went to the cross, and while suffering in agony, He thought about His mother standing there at the foot of the cross. And who would look after His mother when He was gone? And He entrusted her to John. Remember what the Israelites had to do with a son who was so rebellious and would not listen to the instruction and correction of his parents. That son was to be brought to the elders and stoned to death. But on Golgotha, the obedient Son took upon Himself the disobedience of His people in order that rebellious children, teenagers or grown-ups, might have their sins pardoned and might be renewed after His image. And with this Son of God, there are no hopeless cases here this afternoon. Because of His perfect life of obedience and His substitutionary death for the disobedient. Young people, there is no happiness in disobeying your parents, no matter what the world may say. People here can tell you of the scars that come from ignoring and disobeying their parents. And don't we all have reason to confess our sins, and to cry to God for forgiveness. Also when we look back and say, sins of youth remember not, nor my trespasses record. Let not mercy be forgot for thy goodness sake, O Lord. And that's how in this commandment the Lord points us to his only begotten Son, so that we might find forgiveness in him. Amen. Let us give thanks and pray. O most gracious Father, what reason we have to come with all our rebelliousness and bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus, confessing our sins also against the fifth commandment, to pray thee for thy grace that pardons and renews. We thank thee for those in our lives who have been used to teach us submission, respect, obedience, and trust. Help our children to honor their parents, to love them, to pray for them, to care for them. Forgive us as parents for our many failures, so often seen in the home. Help us to live in such a way that it will not be difficult for our children to honor us. Help us to love our children and care for them and point them to thyself. And remember those in our midst without God-fearing fathers and mothers, maybe church-going. Lord, apply thy word to all of us. Keep us from teaching our children to be disobedient and grumbling to others in authority in the world and in the church. And help us to take refuge to thee, the Father to the fatherless, in whom the fatherless find mercy. Go with us from this place. Remember us in Sunday school, junior catechism. Help those teenagers and young people who struggle also in this regard, and parents who may struggle in another way, help us to lay it at thy feet and direct us in thy way. Forgive our sins in preaching and in listening. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.